We were reading from Canto 1, Chapter 2, and Text 19. Tada rajastamo bhavaha kama lobadayaschaye cheta etaira navittham sthitam sattve prasidati. Tada, at that time, rajaha, in the mode of good passion, tamaha, mode of ignorance, bhavaha, the situation, kam, lust and desire, lobha, hankering, adayaha, others, cha, and ye, whatever they are, chetaha, the mind, etai, by these, anavittham, without being affected, sthitam, being fixed, sattve, in the mode of goodness, prasidati, thus becomes fully satisfied. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effect of nature's mode of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. So, I'll just continue because I have to discuss three verses. I'll include Prabhupada points of the purpose in my lecture now. So, I'm continuing from yesterday's lecture. And yesterday we were discussing about this 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah, six verses which are talking about, which are actually talking about a journey to love of God. And we were trying to, Sukhdeva Goswami is trying to chart out a path on our in devotion and give us some milestones so that we can understand whether we are advancing or not advancing. Devotion is a continuous process of introspection, and that's very important. It is said a person who doesn't continuously check and refine his faults, he cannot advance in any sphere, neither in spiritual, neither in material. A wise man, a fool, will focus on his qualities, and a wise man will focus on his faults. That is also said. So that is why we must understand, we have to continuously look in our consciousness what are the problems and come up with solutions, because problems do not go just by themselves. Just by wishing, nothing happens. That is why if you desire, you have to qualify yourself also. You have to come up with a solution. So Sukhdeva Goswami now, having explained that a devotee achieves the platform of, last verse Sukhdeva Goswami ended, devotee achieves the platform of nishtha, that is, he is fixed in devotion now. Or Prabhupada used the word naishtha ki, or devotion is established as an irrevocable fact. So now a devotee is not simply interested in Krishna. Now a devotee is not simply having attraction for him. He is having a hunger to know him. He is basically obsessed for his service. He is fixed. And Sukhdeva Goswami says, then what happens after that? When the mind is fixed in devotion, when you start hating your false ego, when you start liking Krishna, when you start hating independence, when you start hating control, when you start liking subjugation, when you expect control, and you look forward to being used by Krishna, or in other words, you look forward to being exploited by Krishna. At that point, your devotion is fixed. Nobody can confuse you. Nobody can confuse you. Even you, your mind, even you yourself cannot confuse yourself at this point. There is no going back from here. To a large extent, at the level of nishtha. Now what happens is, if you continue your journey with sincerity and with association of devotees, now mark this point, in whole entire journey, the association of devotees is the most important. We can't leave that. And that is why even at the platform of love of God, you need association of devotees. Even beyond that, we need association of devotees. It is not mentioned here anywhere, but that's pre-assumed. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna Bhakti Jan Mool Hoye Sadhu Sang. That devotion is born of association of devotees. Without devotees, we can't even start a journey. And throughout the journey, we need sadhu sang. And then, Krishna prem paya teho puna hoy mukhyam. Even after attaining love of God, we need sadhu sang. You see, such importance is there of sadhu sang. Even if you don't have a pure devotee to associate, no problem. A nonsense devotee is better than a materialistic person. If there's, in quotations, nonsense, we can say that. Devotees are not nonsense, but sometimes in conditioned state, they become like, they do something nonsense. So, it's, you know why a nonsense devotee is better than a materialistic person? Because a materialistic person, even though he might be the best person on the planet Earth, a gentleman, he will never advise you to serve Krishna because he's a materialistic person. But a nonsense devotee, he might be the worst devotee in the community of a devotee. But he will never advise you to leave Krishna. Rather, the more nonsense he is, the more he will actually force you to do service of Krishna, isn't it? He's like, okay, fine, like, that devotee is completely out, you know, and then he wants to take revenge, and he's envious of you, and that, and so what he does, he'll say, come on, go and wash the pots, clean the floor. In other words, he's forcing us to serve Krishna. So that's better for us, not a big problem. So that is why, and in fact, even such kind of devotees are our spiritual master. Everybody in the devotion is our spiritual master. We have to have a vision to see that. Everybody is teaching you here. There's not a single moment which is not teaching you. But the problem is with us. We don't take that teaching. So for our pure devotee we serve, we learn so many things from them. Primarily we learn knowledge. Isn't it? We were talking about that. When we serve pure devotees, heart is purified. Why? Because he gives us knowledge and all confusions and doubts are solved by that. And our goal becomes clear. But even new devotees, even nonsense devotees, they teach you something. You know what? What they teach you? Okay, one thing. To become humble. Huh? What not? Okay, yeah, that's also a good thing. We learn what not to do from them. That's a very big thing. You also have to learn what not to do. You also have to learn, if you do this, then this will be the consequence. So he's teaching you. Okay, I'm doing nonsense, so I'm in a messed up condition. So we learn from him, don't do this. Otherwise we'll be also in a messed up condition. How to show by example? What's that? No, I can't understand. Like, my question is, how does nonsense devotees? No. We are learning from them. We are not teaching them. Yeah. We are learning from them something. Although we sometimes think that from new devotees or from devotees who are not, who are like space out. You know this word, space out. There's nothing to learn from them. There's like, no, there's so much to learn from them. How do you learn tolerance in devotion? Okay, let me ask you. If I give you a lecture to be tolerant, can you learn tolerance? I can keep on speaking for a million of years, but you will never come to know what is tolerance simply by having a theoretical lecture. It never happens like that. No?
You get to be associated with a person which irritates you.
Yes. Tolerance is learned when you come in contact with intolerance. Otherwise, you never learn how to be tolerant. So, those devotees who are intolerant, they are teaching you how to be tolerant. That is why it is said, a goodness, evil is evil. But for a man of knowledge, evil blossoms goodness. If you think about it. If you have darkness, then you can appreciate light. There's no darkness, you can't appreciate light. A diamond is found in coal mines, isn't it? You know that, no? It's found in coal. And in coal, it shines much more than if you bring a diamond here in the light. So there is a role of evil, you see? There is a role of evil. Evil, like, of course, Christian theology doesn't understand what's the role of evil, why there is evil in this world. But there are many roles of evil. In fact, Rigveda, there is a prayer. In Rigveda, there is a sukta. And it is praising evil. In that sense, there is another perspective. And it's praising, oh evil, you are so nice. We pay obeisances to you. Because you help us to remain good. Isn't it? You help us to develop good qualities and give a contrast. There's no contrast, then you can't develop anything. But for that you should have wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, then you'll be sucked by it. You should have support of Krishna and his knowledge. Otherwise we can't learn. That is why it is said, everything in this material world is our teacher. In fact, not even people, even elements, material elements is our teacher. And Bhagavatam says that. Dattatraya, he accepted 24 gurus, isn't it? And some of the gurus were sky, air, water, earth, fire. We know that all. We know. And he started learning from them. How these people do not, earth doesn't speak, sky doesn't speak, fire doesn't speak, then how he's learning? For ordinary man, they don't learn anything from this because they don't speak. But then wise man learns. Why? Because he's in knowledge. He's in mode of goodness. He sees and he starts learning from that. So here's a quiz anyway. What did Dattatraya learn from sky? What do you learn from sky? Or you don't even see the sky. In Western world, we don't see it. We're like in the room, you know. We can't even winters go out. And yeah.
Even though there is so much fragrance, doesn't get mixed, stays there.
Fragrance?
So much
fragrance. Okay, clouds.
Clouds.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So the idea is, Dattatraya learned from sky that a mind of pure devotee should be like sky. He learned like that. A mind of devotee should be broad and clean. There is not a single spot. You can't make a spot on sky. You can't do that. It's clean and it's pure. That's, he learned, this should be the mind. This should be my mind. Broadness means forgiving. And if your mind is broad, you forgive. So he learned the quality of forgiveness, he learned the quality of purity, he learned the quality of peacefulness, that things. He learned from water. What do you learn from water? Nothing? We just drink water. We are in tada rajastamo bhava. We are in passion and ignorance. So we don't learn from these things.
We can learn from water how to practice yoga.
Huh? How do you do that?
Huh?
How do you learn that?
Water adapts to obstacles and
growth. Yoga, we learn yoga? Why do we want to learn yoga from water?
That's one. I think it's this example. We can learn how to adapt.
No, no, we should learn something devotional, you know. Yoga.
Yeah, I mean, there is an obstacle. You don't fight directly, but still, you find a way to go towards the goal somehow. So it's kind of determination.
I don't know. It's like
okay.
It's like twisting like that. No, that's okay. Everybody is trying.
Okay.
That's fine. So, some kind of answer. Well, we learn from water humbleness. That's what Dattatreya learned. You put water at any height, it will come down. Isn't it? It always takes the lowest position. Water. That's a devotee. He always takes the lowest position. It is said, if you stand low, Krishna will keep you high. If you stand at the back, Krishna will take you to the front. It is said in Bible also. Those who stand the last in the kingdom of God, they'll be the first. That's in Bible, by the way. So, you see the point? A devotee starts learning. Why a devotee starts learning? Because when he's fixed in devotion, by the power of devotion, what happens is, where is the verse? Can you show the verse? It's gone. The verse and the meaning? Okay. By the power of devotion, what happens is tada. Tada means at that time. At the time when you are fixed in devotion, when you have no confusion. No confusion. No doubts. You are fixed. Goal of my life is Krishna. And you have a hunger to know Krishna and his qualities and pastimes. At that time what happens? Rajas tamo bhava. Mode of passion and ignorance go down. The effect on our mind and soul, it loosens. They lose their grip on us. They can't now inspire us to do wrong things. Thoughts come from within, but they're no longer inspiring. That's the idea. You see, thoughts will not stop. You can't stop your thoughts. Thoughts will come. Even Yamunacharya, he has thoughts of sex. Yamunacharya, what to do? You know Yamunacharya? You know, he's a guru of Ramanuja. And he says, whenever I think of sexual thoughts, I spit on it. You see the point? He has a thought. Thought will never get over. But your perception of thoughts will change. Those thoughts will not inspire you in wrong direction. Because they are no longer inspiring. They are bland. So once thoughts go into you, you can never erase it. There is no delete button in our mind. This hardware doesn't have a delete button. If it goes in, it goes in. And mind is like a screen. It will keep on showing you. Keep on showing you. Even Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, he was sitting. So that's in Leela Amrita, I think, or Harishari Prabhu. It's known. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he was sitting and he was remembering his wife. In Vrindavan. In 1976-1975, he was saying, that lady was a good lady. But I unnecessarily left her. He was thinking like that. So, he was remembering his wife, but he was remembering his wife now with a different perception. Now not with the same perception what he was perceiving her when he was householder. It is now different, isn't it? So when Prabhupada was in final days, he was just lying on the bed and he called Tamal Krishna. Tamal, he used to say, Tamal, come here. And he came. Prabhupada said, that dog. nonsense dog. He's remembering dog. And he was remembering a dog when once Prabhupada took a ride in the car with one in Bombay, one guest, and that person had a dog. And he was driving, he put a dog here and Prabhupada was sitting there. It was that complete nonsense dog, you know. Narad Muni is remembering his past life. It's not just Prabhupada, Narad Muni. That Bhagavatam starts by that. His memory is not erased. Nothing is erased. It is there. Narad Muni remembers his past life, how he was like that. But what changes is your perception. And that's what it says, Tada Rajastamo Bhava. By the power of devotion, your perception changes. Our perception in mode of passion and ignorance is screwed up, is twisted. So we start seeing things and perceive in a wrong way, and we get inspired to do that wrong way. Your whole perception changes. And your perception changes to Cheta Ete Ranavidam Sitam Sattve Prasidati Satogun. Your perception now is a perception of mode of goodness. There are three types of perception. Perception in passion, ignorance and goodness. Isn't it? In ignorance, if you see a female, you'll get lust. In passion, if you see a female, you will have maybe... Okay. No, lust is in ignorance. That's the idea. You don't know what's... You take it wrong. In passion, if you see a female, you might want to exploit her. Abuse her. And in goodness, if you see a female, you see her as a mother. You see? It's the same object, but observation is different. That's why it's classical example in scriptures it is given. The same female, when she is perceived by a child, she appears as mother. The same female, when she is perceived by an adult, she is perceived as an object of enjoyment. The same female, when she is observed by her mother and father, she is perceived as a child. And the same female, when she is perceived by a lion, she is food. Nothing more than that. Meat. So, what's the problem? Problem is not there. Problem is here. Problem is actually here, in your eyes. So that's how the power of devotion will change your perception. That's the idea. And now you start perceiving in mode of goodness. Now mode of goodness, sitam sattve. Sitam sattve means you establish in mode of goodness. You transcend, start transcending modes. And transcending mode means, that means your perception is changing. Now mode of goodness is defined as in Bhagavad Gita. What's the definition of mode of goodness? Anybody can tell? No, that's not a definition, that's... Huh? Ah, yeah. So what's that verse? Mode of goodness is defined as... how was that? Nirmalam anamayam. That's mode of goodness. Krishna says mode of goodness is having three characteristics. First is nirmalam. It is pure. Nirmalam. No contamination. Anamayam, without sins. And the most important thing is, in mode of goodness, all your senses are imbued with knowledge. Prabhupada says, are illumined with knowledge. Prabhupada uses that word. In mode of goodness, automatically you start learning from things. In mode of goodness, you are in a learning mode. That, let me say like that. But in mode of passion and ignorance, you are not in a learning mode. You are blocking that knowledge to come. Isn't it? So, at this point, when you become fixed in devotion, you start learning. Because you come in mode of goodness. You start learning things from everything. And you start learning from the circumstances in your life. Whatever happens in your life, you start learning rather than cribbing, rather than becoming frustrated. You see the point? If something bad happens in your life, you learn from that thing. In passion, you become frustrated. In ignorance, you become depressed. But in mode of goodness, you see something bad, some miseries in life as your guest. In passion and ignorance, miseries are not welcomed. But in mode of goodness, miseries are welcome, because mode of goodness, you start learning from everything. Just like I was told, Vedas are praising evil. What's this? Because Vedas are in pure mode of goodness. They can see evil from a different perspective. And that's the idea. Yes, sitam satve. You start developing good qualities. Now here is the point. How do you know you're advancing in devotion? The first symptom of advancement in devotion is you start developing mode of goodness. That means you start, your perception starts changing. And the second thing is you start developing good qualities. And that's what Prabhupada mentions here in this and the next verse. We start developing, a devotee is always qualified with all good qualities of God. This is a very interesting statement. Devotee is qualified, is there, can you show that? So in the last paragraph of this. Yeah, a devotee is always qualified with all good qualities of God. It's a very interesting line. In mode of goodness, you become like God. That's the idea. You become like Him. And that's what Gita says. Krishna says, Putam mad bhavam agata. You attain to my nature, Krishna says. But you become like Him qualitatively, not quantitatively, Prabhupada says here. Prabhupada says, qualitatively, such qualifications may be different, but quantitatively, but qualitatively, both Lord and His devotee are one and the same. So, when you are fixed in devotion, you become like Krishna. That's a symptom of advancement. And that's what Christ said. I know more Bible than you in your land, in Christianity. Christ says, become like your father. As he is pure, you should be pure. As he is forgiving, you should be forgiving. He said there. So that means you start developing all good qualities of Krishna. You see the point? How it happens? Because when you are fixed in devotion, you have hunger to attain God, isn't it? You have hunger to attain Him. And you are focusing on Him. And the rule is, on whatever object you focus, that qualities will come in you, isn't it? If you start thinking of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you will become like him. You know Arnold Schwarzenegger? He's famous. So kids, you know, they start thinking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then they also start acting like that. Muscles and this and that. You start getting those qualities. So when I was in my medical college, I was in that obstetrics department. So you know gynae department? The department for females and children? There's a department. OBG, it's called, obstetrics and gynecology. So I was posted in that for 2 months. So that field of medicine, it's dealing with female and their problems, childbirth and all these things. The female doctors are different. So we were there practicing. So what happened was, our teacher was a male, HOD. And the first day we went, he was talking like a female. What's happening? He was talking like a female. He was walking like a female. Like this, something. It's crazy. And then there was one more male teacher. He was also talking like a female. Like females, you know, like he was talking, hey, what you are doing? We were shocked what's happening. But then we came to know, because he's associating with females whole life, he's become like them unconsciously. Their actions, their thoughts, they have become like it. So because you're fixed in devotion and now you're focused on God, His qualities, His pastimes, and you want Him. Because you want Him, He will give Himself to you in form of His qualities. He's coming close to you, and His qualities now getting absorbed in you. And those qualities are called divine qualities. That is the first symptom of advancement in devotion. You start getting good qualities. That means mode of goodness. And how do you know what is good and what is bad? Read 16th chapter. 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says a list of divine qualities, isn't it? Divine and demoniac, that's the name. So Krishna gives 19 divine qualities. Why does Krishna say that's a checklist? That he doesn't say just for because it's sad. That's a checklist for us. Every Ekadashi, you sit and see that checklist, how many good qualities you have developed. If you're not developing those good qualities, this means you're not advancing. You're not advancing. No matter how much bliss you're feeling or happiness, that's okay. I told you yesterday, that's a side effect of devotion. We are not advancing. And that is what this verse is saying. Sitam sattve. You develop good qualities of God. You become like God. Like God. You become divine. And the second symptom is, can you just show the verse? Prasidati. Prasidati means, because you develop good qualities, you are in mode of goodness, you become perfectly satisfied. Now this is very important. This is philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Prabhupada in translation writes, he becomes very happy. You see, he becomes completely happy. Completely happy. Prasidati means happiness. You know why he becomes completely happy? If you go to any person on the street and if you ask, are you happy? What he'll say? Yes. And you say, you're not happy. He'll say, come on, I'm happy. Isn't it? It's difficult to convince them, you know, you're suffering. Well, yeah, I'm happy, you know, like you're happy, we're also happy. But the point is, now here is the point. Krishna develops a theme in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, kuta shanti, kuta sukham. Now you ask another question to him. Are you peaceful? What he will say? He will say, I'm stressed, I'm full of anxieties, you know, I do the job, this. And then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what is the value of that happiness where there is no peace? Can we call it true happiness? You're full of anxieties and you're happy. It doesn't have any sense. Doesn't make any sense. You're cheating yourself. That's not happiness. That is then something else. Because without peace, there cannot be true happiness. So that is sensual excitement. Some kind of sensual, superficial excitement of senses. That's not happiness. And peace can only be there where there is satisfaction. You can't have peace without being satisfied, isn't it? Now, you want this, you want that, you want this, you want that, you want that. How can there be peace? A satisfied person doesn't want anything. And that's why he's at peace. Bhakta nishkam ataiva shant. Mahaprabhu says, devotee doesn't want anything. That's why he's at peace. So there's no question of peace without satisfaction. And that is why Prabhupada, in the word-to-word meaning, he translates prasidati as become fully satisfied. But in translation, he writes completely happy. He switches. So he's linking satisfaction with happiness. So wherever there is satisfaction, there is peace. Wherever there is peace, there is true happiness. True happiness cannot be there if there is no peace. There is no question of peace if there is no satisfaction. And satisfaction can only be there if there are no material desires. We make no sense of satisfaction if you're full of desires. And that's the idea. Devotion destroys your material desires. Because now you're in mode of goodness. You don't want anything except Krishna. Because that is where we started. We said, Nishtha Bhakti. Fixed in devotion means, you develop hunger for Krishna. You lose hunger from material world. Losing hunger from material world means we don't have desires to attain anything. We are convinced. What is the definition of satisfaction? Can anybody tell me? Krishna gives in Gita. He says that. Read Bhagavad Gita at least 100 times. Should be reading that. Prabhupada seems to have said that to one of our Prabhupada disciples. A Prabhupada disciple, he was recounting his memory. Prabhupada said, read Gita at least 100 times before dying. Then you can hope to go back to Krishna. He said that. You have to understand what you are doing. Otherwise, how will you advance? If we don't understand what we are doing, how do you advance? Either you read, either you hear, do something. But understand the subject matter. Krishna will help if you are sincere from within the heart. But we have to put the effort. Okay, so what's the definition? This book, Gita, you can take in your hand and preach to anybody. literally. You can go to any philosopher and defeat him. You can go to any scientist and defeat him. In fact, I go to colleges and I preach Gita. I went to MIT, I was talking from Gita and showing them there is science in this, there's a sense in this, it's not mythology. Now, satisfaction is defined as yam labdhvana cha param labham. That's the definition given. Krishna says satisfaction is a state where after attaining that state, you have nothing else to be attained. If you're in that state, you're satisfied. If you find yourself in a state where you don't want to attain anything else and you feel what I've attained, that's perfection in itself. That is satisfaction. So a devotee who comes to Krishna is satisfied because after attaining Krishna, you don't feel like attaining anything else. That's it, finish, isn't it? We feel like that, no? When we come to devotion, we feel, yeah, now we are at home. Now this is it, finish. We are satisfied. And that is why two symptoms of advancement of devotion. When you are advancing on this path, there are some milestones. The first milestone is you will develop good qualities. You will be in mode of goodness. You will start learning from everybody. Even from bad things you will start learning. And because you are in mode of goodness, you start developing good qualities. And third, you become satisfied. Because of that, peaceful and happy. Truly happy. Happy to the core of your soul, not happy at the level of mind. And then next verse says, then what happens? It says, evam prasanna manaso. When your mind is happy, now your mind is happy, isn't it? Now you understand what's happiness. It's not superficial happiness. It's a peace, satisfaction, desires. A lot of things are working inside behind that. You're happy because you're developing good qualities. You're becoming good, you're learning things, so you're happy, that's good. So when you're happy, evam prasanna, thus enlivened in the mind, what happens? Bhagavat bhakti yogata, Prabhupada says, thus enlivened by happiness, bhagavat tattva vijnanam, he says, you start getting knowledge, you gain positive scientific knowledge of personality of Godhead. Is there bhagavat tattva vijnanam? Tattva means knowledge, bhagavat means God, vijnanam means realization. And the next symptom of advancement is you start getting knowledge and realization. So jnanam, that's the idea. Now this knowledge is different from knowledge what you were getting previously when you were practicing devotion. Now on this path, when you were new on the path of devotion, you were hearing and understanding, isn't it? That's what we started. You serve pure devotees and you get knowledge and relieve yourself all confusion. That knowledge is different from this knowledge. Now you get a realized knowledge. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam. Vijnanam means scientific. Prabhupada translates as scientific. Scientific means now you get a knowledge which you can apply. You get a sense how to apply knowledge. You see, when we join devotion, we learn so many things, but we don't know how to apply it. We exactly don't know how to apply. But when you advance at this platform, get knowledge and you exactly know how to apply. Application is, Prabhupada says, process is easy, application is difficult. Prabhupada said that. It's easy, chant and be happy. But then how do you apply? That's the problem there. It's not easy to apply things. Although we know, we will not be able to apply it. Isn't it? We know holy name and Krishna is one, but we can't apply it. We don't know exactly what to do with this. We can think something, but then what to do? We don't know what to do with this. But at this platform, Krishna will give you realizations. Realizations mean difference between knowledge and realization is knowledge is theoretical. Realization is applied knowledge. That is realization. When you know how to apply that knowledge, this means you're realized. So at this point you get jnana, realized knowledge. You start getting a glimpse. What do I mean by holy name of Krishna and Krishna is one? How do I apply this? So yesterday I was telling, How do you apply this? When you understand holy name of Krishna and Krishna is one, you will understand. I am in a meeting with God. I am face to face to Him. So that's a level of application. But then it can go much deeper. And the second is mukta sangasya jayate. Mukta sangasya means mukta means liberated. Sangasya means association. You get renunciation, vairagya. You become free of association of all obstacles in service of God. To the extent of your mind, your own false ego. It doesn't obstruct you. That is called as renunciation. So, the next symptom of advancement is you develop knowledge and renunciation. Vairagya and jnana. And this is what Mahaprabhu's mission is. Vairagya vidya nicha bhakti yoga shikshartham eka purusham purana. It's a famous verse Prabhupada quotes. Mahaprabhu came to teach us devotion which is ornamented by vairagya and vidya, knowledge and renunciation. You start understanding knowledge, you start applying knowledge, you start teaching others how to apply them, and your senses are empowered and surcharged with renunciation. You are no longer interested in anything which will obstruct service of God, even if it is yourself. That's all. You'll reject it. Finish it off. You'll finish it off, not reject it. That's all. At that moment. That is why it is said, what is devotion? There are many definitions of devotion. But one of the Acharya, Vallabhacharya, he defines devotion as when you like what Krishna likes, when you dislike what he dislikes, when your friends of whom Krishna is a friend, and when your enemies who are enemies of Krishna. That means devotion. It's a beautiful definition if you think about it. So we will destroy everything what comes in service of God. That is devotion. We are not going to just put it aside. No, we are going to destroy it. Not just put it aside. Because you can't put anything aside. It will come back. It will come back to you. Either you destroy it or you'll be destroyed. That's all. There are just two options. There's no other option. Maya will not sit idle. You can't put Maya down. It's impossible. She doesn't like that. And the more you suppress her, the more powerful she'll become. Isn't it? Enemies are like that, no? She's a good enemy. And good enemies, they don't accept defeat. So, the more you try to defeat her, Prabhupada says in Gita, devotion is a declaration of war against illusory energy. You have heard this? It's a statement in Prabhupada's Bhagavad. Declaration of war. It's a war. Devotion is like a war. Now, it's a very different take from understanding devotion is just love. We are loving Krishna, but at the same time we are at war also. It's both love and war. So what happens in a war? If you try to defeat Maya, she will become more strong. She'll try to make herself strong. So there is just one option. You have to kill her. You have to destroy all the tactics of illusion. You can't afford to not destroy it. That's why that is called renunciation. That is called renunciation. So it is said, reject. It is said, we should reject. We should accept everything without hesitation, and we should reject everything without hesitation. And this word hesitation is very important. We hear that, no? Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. We might reject something, but with hesitation sometimes. But it is said, you should reject everything which is obstacle in service of God, just like you pass stool in your bathroom. This is an example given. Do you care about it? Nobody cares about this stool, isn't it? It's coming from your body, by the way. It's a part of your body. And it comes, and then you don't think, oh my God, my part of my body, what's happening? We don't think that, no. We don't think about that. Nah, who can? We don't even think for a second. Just get things done and get out. It's coming from you, but you hate it. That's the idea. These thoughts which will block you, it's coming from you. But you start hating it. Because it is blockage in service of God. I don't want to think it again. So that's another milestone in advancement in devotion. You develop knowledge and realize knowledge or applied knowledge and renunciation. So you see, now we know whether we are advancing or not. You develop good qualities, you start learning from everything, and then you develop satisfaction, and then you develop knowledge, applied knowledge, and then renunciation. You see, these are the symptoms, these are the parameters by which we know we are advancing or not. Bliss and happiness, that's not a parameter. You see, yesterday I was telling, don't be confused by that. That's confusing. And then, if you continue further, if you manage to continue further with association of devotees. Now, I was talking about association of devotees. Even at this platform, you need association of devotees. Even if you have all good qualities, knowledge, renunciation, everything you have, still you need association of devotees. You know why? Okay, when you are new, you need association of devotees, we understand, to save us from fall down. By this point, you cannot fall down. Because this is the stage of bhava and asakti. This is the stage of bhava and asakti which he is talking about. From this stage, you don't come back, mostly. But still you need association of devotees. Why? Can anybody tell me? Okay, yeah. At the stage of love, still you need association. Then what do you say? There is nothing further. You are perfect. You are in love with God. Well, you need association of devotees in this material world. If you are in a forest, can't you serve Krishna? There are no devotees. I can't serve you, Krishna, so I am enjoying. You can serve. Even if you are alone, you can serve. At the platform of love, it's very different, no? Krishna is revealing yourself in your heart. But still you need association. Why? Can anybody tell me why? Mahaprabhu says, Krishna prem paya teho puna mukhyam. Even after attaining love, association of devotees is the main limb of devotion. And Mahaprabhu himself took association of Sarup Damodar Ramana Rai, isn't it? He showed. He was taking association.
Yeah, probably in 10 lines, because you can serve the in the best possible way with the vote is 10 lines.
10 lines?
Yeah.
Oh, that verse?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they do.
Yeah, you can tell that like this, yeah. I can understand you. We probably have to refine your answer a little bit. You're close to that. That's good. Okay. Before you attain love of God, you need association to advance. We understand, is it? But after you have attained love of God, you need association to taste devotion. And that's a very different take. Taste. That's what Mahaprabhu was doing with Sarup Damodar Raman Rai. He was saying, speak about Krishna. And he was tasting. So devotees make devotion tasting, tasty as that's the idea. So before you attain love of God, you need association of devotees to cut and carve your soul. They help you to cut your, if you talk in a metaphorical language, they help you to cut your false ego and carve your soul in a proper shape, just fit for Krishna. And after you attain love of God, you need association to polish it so that it shines in the eyes of Krishna. And you become shining and give more pleasurable. Devotion becomes pleasurable and trusting and tasty. So that's the idea. Kathantascha mam nityam, tushyanticha ramanticha. To get pleasure. And that's the idea. And now the last verse is 21st verse. 21st verse talks about love. Now, if we continue, still on path of devotion. If we take association of devotees, we don't fall away. At this point, you don't fall down. But without association, you can even fall down from this situation. Bharat Maharaj was at this platform, at the platform of Bhava, but he fell down because he didn't have association of devotees. So what happens is, last verse, Vidyarte hidire ganthi chidyante sarva samshaya shiyante chasya karmani drishtva evatmana ishvare. This verse is very tasty to Mayavadis. If you give this verse to Mayavadis, they will be jumping in ecstasy. Because if you translate this verse literally, it is Mayavad. Because you see the last line, Drishtva evatmana ishvare. And what Prabhupada writes in translation, just show the translation. Prabhupada says, you see that? The knot of the in the heart is pierced, all misgivings are cut to pieces, chain of fruitive actions terminated when one sees self as master. So you see, I am God. That's a perfection of life. And they translate like this. Literally this means this. Now there's a big thing. If some Mayavadi comes, he'll quote this. And he says, your Bhagavatam says what you do. Right in first canto. So how do you defeat him? And Prabhupada writes this. Translation, when one sees self as master. So what do you do? How do you explain him? This is one thing in this verse which we must know, all of us. And these verses are basis of a philosophy. He will just attack here. He'll say these verses are basis of a philosophy. And this verse is talking about love, the ultimate perfection of life. And when you attain love, you find you and God are one. You become God. It's there. So you're defeated, you're gone. So how do you defend yourself? What do you do? Even Prabhupada translates like that. That's amazing. Huh? So what's the answer for this? Can everybody think about this? Okay.
There is no existence beyond Vasudeva and pure part
and part of it. Oh, I can't understand your answer.
Huh?
What's that answer? Answer. I can't understand your answer. Like,
I mean, there is no nothing exists beyond there is everything. You as.
But my question is different, no? Prabhupada says you see self as master. You start seeing yourself as God. And the word there is, you see the Sanskrit? Drishtva evatmana ishvare. Ishvar means God. Drishtva means see. You start seeing yourself as God. Now what do you do with that? Now the understanding of this is, you see, for this you have to have some knowledge of Nyaya. Language, linguistics. Otherwise you will not understand what's happening. So what happens is, the same word might mean something else at different levels of consciousness. And different fields also. Just like moksha, liberation. Liberation for jnanis means liberating from cycle of birth and death. Is it? Liberation for devotees is a different meaning. For us, liberation is love of God. We get liberated from false ego and surrender to Krishna. Do you understand? Liberation for karmakandis, for brahmanas, is liberation, getting liberated from impurities. Same word means different, same word has different meaning in different areas of knowledge. Is this clear? Like for example, if you say atoms. Atoms have a different meaning in physics. In physics, when you say atom, atom means atom, electron, protons and this. We see like that. In chemistry, if you say atom, we look at atom in a very different way. In chemistry, we look at atoms in terms of moles and molecules and its spatial arrangements. We have a different perspective on atom. Physicists have a different perspective. And if you say atom in biology, we have a different, very different perspective. Atom in biology means initial cell. The first cell on the earth we call as primordial cell or a living cell. That's not atom, same what we say in physics. You understand? It's very different meaning. So similarly, the word Ishvara has different meanings in different areas. Now, when you are in love with God, Ishvara has a very different meaning. Prabhupada says, when she is self as master, self has a different meaning when you are conditioned. Self has a different meaning where you are in love. When you are in conditioned consciousness, self means self, soul, isn't it? When you are super conditioned, self means your false ego. Yesterday I was telling, we can't even see ourselves, we can just see our false ego. So practically our self is false ego. When you little elevate, yourself means soul. When you can see false ego and soul separate. Okay? For a materialistic person, self means what? His body. Isn't it? For a mother, self means what? Child. For mother, child is herself. For a devotee who is in love in God, self means what? Krishna. Because he is in love with Krishna. Just like for a mother, self is a child. For lovers, for two lovers, if you ask what is your self, the girl will say he is myself. The boy will say the girl is myself, it's me. So for in love of God, yourself is Krishna, because Prabhupada says Krishna is a self of self, Krishna is a soul of souls, super soul. He says in Bhagavatam, he's a soul of soul, he's a self of self, he's a real self. Prabhupada says in first canto, because now you are in love of God. So Prabhupada, so it means when one sees Krishna as master, if you replace self with Krishna, that's all. Finish. Because at love things are at love your false ego is dissolved. At love you don't care anything about yourself. Krishna is more important than your own self. Your whole identity shifted from you to Krishna. You don't see anything separate. You don't see yourself separate from God. So here, self means God. Isn't it? So, if you ask a devotee who is in love of God, who are you, what he'll say? He'll say, I am Krishna's servant, isn't it? That's the idea. That's his identity. He starts with Krishna, not with himself. So he sees self as master. He sees his real self and not his own self. His real self is Krishna, with whom he's bonded eternally. Because now he's inspired only by Krishna. His all thoughts, his all energy, his everything is inspired from Krishna. That's the idea there. So that's how you defeat, if Mayavadis come in touch with you, you have to talk something. Drishtvaya Vatmani Ishvare. But you can defeat them in another way also, if you know Sanskrit. Because Mayavadis will talk Sanskrit. Now, if you see Sanskrit here, Drishtvaya Vatmani Ishvare, the word uses Atmani. Atmani means into. Atma means soul. Atmani means into your soul. So the verse doesn't say you see yourself as God. The verse says you see God in yourself. If literally you see, the Mayavadis will say, okay, forget English. If you defeat them, they'll say, forget English. You come to Sanskrit. they are like that, you know. And you can say, okay, fine. What is Atma? If you the word Atma, if you put Sanskrit, in Sanskrit Atma, if you change into Atmani, that means into. You see the point? That means into, Atmani. So you see Ishvara into your soul. That's simple. You see Krishna into yourself, into your heart. Simple. So even by Sanskrit you can defeat, even by English you can defeat. They have no standing there. They are finished. Okay.
They are saying if you see God in your soul, then you are God.
No, that's different. Sukhdev Goswami should have said, Atma becomes Ishwar. He will not use this in soul. That's specifically, you start seeing into your soul. Your soul is, Krishna doesn't become your soul, you start seeing Krishna in your soul. That's a very different take altogether. Very different take. That's love. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when you see me within yourself and yourself in me, then you are united with me. That's a Bhagavad Gita verse there. Bhagavad Gita? What's that verse? I forgot. What's that verse? Yeah. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Yomai Pashyati. When you see everything in me, and me in everything. So me in everything means when you see me in yourself also. Simple. Then you love of God. Simple. So I'll just, yeah. So now this is one thing. But what the point of this verse is all about is this verse is talking about love, definition of love. Can you show the verse? This is definition of love. Love is not abstract. Love is nothing in air. That's not love. You can't love Krishna by just saying, "Oh my dear Krishna, I love you." You can say that. But you can't judge by that whether you're in love with God. These are the three symptoms of love. The first is Vidyate Hirdaya Granthi. All the knots in the heart are pierced. That means your heart becomes soft. That's the word used by Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion. Hirdaya Samarsneya. Rupa Goswami changes this into another. Rupa Goswami changes this into another language. When your knots in the heart becomes pierced, the knot of attachment, your heart becomes soft, isn't it? Now our heart is hard because we have so many knots of attachment. We are attached to our body, attached to our ideas, attached to our independence, attached to people around us, attached to circumstances, attached to things. And because of that attachments, our heart is becoming hard. So the first symptom of love is your heart becomes soft, like a butter. And that's why Krishna was stealing butter. Krishna was stealing butter to show us, make your heart like butter and then I'll come and steal it. I steal only butter. I am butter thief. And what do you mean by making your heart butter? That means you have to destroy all the attachments from your heart. Even the last traces of attachment, they're gone. Even attachment to yourself, that has to be finished. That means, in other words, when you're in love, you can risk your life. That's a practical take on that. Because you lose attachment to yourself also. So you can risk your life, you can risk your money, you can risk everything for the service of Krishna. And that's Prabhupada. He risked his life because his heart is soft. So soft heart doesn't mean that you're not courageous. So generally we say you should have a strong heart to become courageous. No, you should have a soft heart to become courageous. Now here soft means, of course, like in materialistic words term, you need heart, you need to be hard and strong to be courageous. But no, you need to be soft. You have to destroy all attachments and then you can be courageous, then you can risk your life. Because you have no attachment to your life. Okay, I can give. So that is one symptom of love. You can risk your life, you can sacrifice. The symptom, first symptom of love is sacrifice. Now you see how it's linked. So if you read this verse, Vidyate Hirdaya Granthi, can you show the translation also? Little bit. Vidyate, the knots in heart is pierced. This is a very theoretical take. But if you have to if you have to translate this statement practically, the symptom of love is sacrifice and risk first. Second is Chidyante Sarva Samshaya. Chidyante Sarva Samshaya means when all misgivings are cut to pieces. Can you show the verse? Chidyante Sarva Samshaya. You have to maybe go down enough. So all misgivings are terminated. What do you mean by this? So how do you understand this practically? Now the first statement we understand practically, when all the knots in heart is pierced. The practical understanding of this is you can sacrifice for Krishna, you can take risk. That's the first symptom of love. The second symptom is when all misgivings are destroyed. What is a practical take of this? Okay, when all the confusions are destroyed, then you are convinced Krishna is mine and I am Krishna's. I don't belong to anybody. You see? Our confusion in this world is, I belong to somebody else. I belong to my body. I belong to senses. But when all doubts are confused, when we have a doubt now, whether I'll attain Krishna or not. Until you attain Krishna, you have a doubt whether I'll attain him or not. Isn't it? At this platform of love, you're convinced you have Krishna with you. You're convinced by that fact. Because now you have developed a relationship. Now Krishna is yours, you are Krishna's. So this means possessiveness. Another symptom of love is possessiveness. You develop possessiveness, you understand? Mamta atishayankita. That's the word used by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion. You develop mamta. That means you start thinking Krishna is mine and I am Krishna's. I belong to him and he belongs to me. That's all. This is the second symptom of love. And the practical take of this is, you become obsessed to serve Krishna. Isn't it? Just like a mother is obsessed to serve a child. Because she knows that the child belongs to me and I belong to him. That's a bond. And she's serving him 24 hours without feeling any pain. Always happy. So the second symptom of love is, you will serve Krishna without any reservations 24 hours with all bliss and happiness, in spite of the fact that service might be a burden and full of miseries. The second symptom of love is, the miseries in service and the troubles in service will look as a festival to you and a source of great happiness. That is the second symptom of love. And that's what, in fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita says. So that's the idea. Because when you take risks for Krishna, troubles will come. And you will start perceiving those troubles in service of Lord as happiness. Because now you belong to him, he belongs to you. That's all. And the third thing is, Shiyante Chasse Karmani. That means, Shiyante Chasse Karmani means, when all the chain of fruitive actions are terminated. Shiyante means termination. Karmani means chain of fruitive actions. When all the fruitive actions are terminated, that means bhava eva sandharanatma, that's a word used. That means your emotions become very strong. In other words, at the platform of love, the practical take is, you can't live without serving Lord. You can't live. A moment, you can't even think of a moment without serving him. The moment you think about a moment without his service, you will die. That is love. That is love. And that is what is your bhava vasan. Your emotions become very strong. Shiyante chasse karmani. Your fruitive actions are destroyed. Because of fruitive actions of previous lives, we are inspired to do something which we should not do, isn't it? So we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Suddenly a thought comes, water. It has nothing to do with Krishna. You are feeling thirsty. What has to do with Krishna? But because of previous life's samskaras and your habit of thirsty and water and all this, it's coming from inside. That is chain of fruitive actions. It will keep on coming from inside you and keep on inspiring you to do things which will stop service of God. We will never enter trance. In trance, this doesn't happen. Prabhupada, right? Trance. When you're chanting, you're in trance. You don't get any thought except service of God. You don't have thought of water, thirst, hunger, sleep. You don't get that. You're beyond that. But because of past life fruitive actions, at the platform of love, everything stops. It stops. You have no thought except service of God. And that means, in other words, that means you can't think about a moment when you will not be serving him. Even the thought that in future I might leave service of God due to Maya. Maya might take me away from service of God. Even that thought will lead to your death. You will die. Now that's, love is a very different platform. Love is very different. What we think of love now, we don't even understand. We talk of love, but we don't even understand what's love all about. We can't even imagine that state. But that Chaitanya Prabhu is giving you. He's defining you. He's defining for you. This is love. And that's the definition of love. Three symptoms. When these three symptoms appear in your life, then you can say, I'm in love. Otherwise, we can't say we are in love with God. Now, whatever we feel, that's a shadow of love. It's a shadow. It's abhas. We all like Krishna. That's okay. It's a shadow. It's not substance. It's not real. When you can take risks for Him. When you can sacrifice yourself for Him. When you're obsessed to do His service. When you can't think of leaving His service even for a moment. At that point, when you think Krishna is yours, you are Krishna's. When you have all sense of belonging to Him and all sense of belonging Him to you, at that platform you are in love. And this is the perfection of a journey. I love. That's all. And we can achieve this in this life. Prabhupada says, you can achieve this in this life. Provided you don't cheat Krishna. He will lift you up. If you don't cheat Him. And you know how we cheat Him. We don't cheat Him outside. We cheat Him inside us. Because we know sometimes we are doing wrong, but we do wrong. We know sometimes willfully. So Krishna demands, don't do anything willfully. Don't do anything wrong willfully. By habit something can happen, that's okay. That's fine. But don't choose wrong things. If we are sincere to that point, rest Krishna will do. Rest He will do. And the example given is, you see in India, there's an elephant. You have seen in India the elephant, so generally you give coin to the elephant, you see, you know that? So in India, they in temples you have elephants, and they come an elephant blesses with his trunk. Yeah, in India it's there, in South India. It's every time you go, before taking darshan of Lord, you have to get blessings of the elephant. Because that elephant belongs to Krishna. The first person Krishna sees is that elephant. Because that elephant is a devotee from past lives. These elephants are very, very different kind of things. So those elephants, so you go in India and they'll bless you. And you know about small children? Like, so parents will bring small children for blessings. So elephant will take him in the trunk and take him up to that person. And that person will take that child and put him on the elephant and they will ride like that. So the example is given. If you simply sincere in serving God, just like elephant lifts that child up, He will lift you up. He will lift you up. So you do your part, He will do His part. That's what He wants, and He will give you love of God. That's what He wants. Krishna can tolerate lust, Krishna can tolerate anger, Krishna can tolerate everything, but not hypocrisy and cheating. Doesn't tolerate that. That's what we have to save ourselves, and we are done. We can achieve love of God in this life. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, any questions? I'm done here.
One doubt. Speaking of this higher star of the training club, one of the symptoms is possessiveness.
Yeah, yeah.
That you feel that God belongs to you, but that's not from our acharya. Somebody claims something like that. They are claiming the opposite, actually.
What?
I mean, that possessiveness that you experience as if God is your property.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a definition of love given by Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion. Hirdiyat se marsnaya mamta ati chiyankita bhava eva sandranatma buddhai prema ne gadyate. That's the verse. Mamta ati chiyankita means possessiveness. That is the definition. That's all.
But it's strange to me.
Why it's strange?
Because
it's simple.
Mind, to the extent of mind, knowledge doesn't fit
Why?
Our mood.
Why? Krishna belongs to you, you belong to Krishna, that's the mood. Otherwise, what else mood do you want? That's the basis of all our relationship with Krishna. Possessiveness means I belong to Krishna, Krishna belongs to me. I don't see any problem in this. At least in this we don't have any problems and no arguments.
It's kind of...
What's this kind of?
Selfish. Why should... I mean, our acharya say...
It's not selfish. Yeah, okay, I understand. It's not selfish. But Prabhupada says there is spiritual selfishness also. You can't get rid of selfishness. But material selfishness means... In material selfishness, spiritual selfishness, there's a difference. In material selfishness, you're thinking about yourself. In spiritual selfishness, you're thinking about your real self, that is Krishna. We are selfish for God. And that's good. For Krishna, we can do anything. That's selfishness for Krishna. Prabhupada says, that is love. Actually, that is real love. Selfless, religion teaches you how to become selfless. Devotion teaches you how to become selfish. But for Krishna. And that's why Prabhupada could do anything for God. He says, for Krishna I can do anything. That's all. You see the point? That's the idea there. Okay, Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Hare Krishna.